I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend? And who's the one guy that you come running to when your little life starts tumbling?
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
There's no response from command. Or from party leader Creedy. Or from the High Chancellor.
Why are you doing this?
Because he was right.
About what?
That this country needs more than a building right now. Needs hope.
Those who make peaceful revolution impossible will make violent revolution inevitable.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
Is it common sense to allow your activist judges to ignore your history, your culture, your Declaration of Independence, and every other founding document to remove God from public life? And endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, their creator, not the ACLU, not the will of the atheist, or the anti-Americans that sit on the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals in San Francisco. Separation of church and state, yes. Separation of God from public life, never intended by your founding fathers. Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation to secure your borders, establish workplace verification, and stop taxpayer money for illegals? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We had another word for them in 1776. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution and thousands of dead in the streets. It will happen again unless you take back America now.
I hope we have once again reminded people that man is not free unless government is limited. There's a clear cause and effect here that is as neat and predictable as a law of physics. As government expands, liberty contracts.
From my cold, dead hands.
Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. And he or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America. My name is Thomas Paine, and I approve of this message. I only hope to God you will too.
Colonized America, we will stand for tyranny. Oh, he. And it's too late to apologize. It's too late. I said it's too late to apologize. It's too late. Traffic.
Welcome to the Shooting Bench on Survival Circle Radio Network, keeping you informed on guns, news, politics, guns, survival, preparedness, and guns. The tyrant is holding our country hostage, and our freedom is at stake. It's time to take a stand and tell the tyrant, we will not comply. Join me now in the never-ending fight against tyranny, right here on the Shooting Bench. All right, couldn't find the button. It's Thursday night. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is the 17th of September. And, wow, what a show we had last night. That was definitely a keeper. I'm going to be anxious to see how many downloads that gets on the podcast here in the next few days. That Lavoie is a quite the knowledgeable individual there. And believe you me, I have every intention of supporting him in whatever he does up there. And it's about a six-hour trip, but that's okay. It's better than the 22-hour trip or whatever it was to Washington a couple of times, and I'd do that again if it need be. So, here we are. There's... any of you guys watch any reruns or watch the debate last night? I saw parts and pieces of it today while I was doing other things. And, you know, a little disappointed in Trump. He was, he's not a debater by any means. Old Fiorina or whatever name that gal, she did pretty well. And Jeb Bush, he needs to just go and jump in the river somewhere and never come back. What an idiot. But I still like Ted Cruz. I know that he's, you know, we can't, and we get this every election, every time, and there are people that just won't vote or tell you one thing and do something else or whatever. And the, hang on a minute. All right, B2 Basic, we'll take care of you there. You can write in whatever you want. If you're not satisfied with who's out there, you know, I support that. I think it's pointless, really, but you know, I support that. I don't have a problem with it at all. And I have done that a couple of times. I jumped on a guy up in Wyoming right the day after election. I asked him who you voted for, and he said, I wrote somebody in. I said, oh, that's okay. Who was it? And he said, Mickey Mouse. I said, why did you even bother going down there? Why did you go to the polls? I mean, realistically, as idiotic as you are, you should know that Mickey Mouse is not going to win. If you're going to write somebody in, you know, do something rather than just waste the time going down there. I know that our system is a long ways from perfect. And, well, the system is probably okay. It's the people that's in there. Ted Cruz is, I like a lot of the things he said. I like him pretty well. There's things, you know, that may not be completely in accordance. But, you know, and I've said this before, and I wish people could get it through their head. There is no one out there. Jesus Christ is not running, folks. There's no one out there that is going to be perfect. There is not one single individual that you're going to like everything about. Even these Ron Paul nuts, there's things about him that are not in accordance with the gospel of Cope. So, you know, no matter what you do, unless you vote for Jesus Christ, you're voting for the lesser of two evils, because there is no one that is absolutely perfect. Ain't going to happen. So, you know, look at what your primary issues are with mine. It's guns. That's the first thing. Okay, if the gun issue is acceptable or good, then we'll move on to other things. We'll move on to taxes. We'll move on to, excuse me, hang on a minute. Move on to, you know, foreign policy and immigration and all these kind of things. Yeah, I'm aware of all these other problems, and I don't ignore them. But it still boils down first to guns. If they mess with the guns, I don't care if they are perfect on everything else. Everything. Picture perfect. Couldn't write it any better. But if they mess with the guns, then you're out of here. There is no possibility that you will get my vote. So, Trump, I think he needs some education on guns, but I think he's okay. Ted Cruz, I think, is good. Not a fan of Carson for a couple of reasons. I don't get me wrong. I think he would probably be a pretty good president, and I think he'd probably get change a lot of things in this country. But there are two things that bother me about him, and even the gun thing, is not as bad, I don't think, as people make it out to be. I think it is a lack of education. I think he's like old Jim Zumbo. He needs somebody to take him out and let him blast away a little bit with an AR or an AK and explain to him, and a Remington 742, and explain to him that you know, they look different, but they do the same thing. But the thing about Ben Carson that I don't, he's not anti-gun, Eddie Crump, at all. He is extremely pro-gun. He has one minor flaw that, like I said, I think is just an education thing, and that is the assault weapons in big cities. I don't think that's a real big deal. I think that's an education thing. I don't think he believes that because he hasn't been taught any better. But he's definitely not anti-gun. With the exception of that one deal there, he's very pro-gun. Ted Cruz is very pro-gun. Jeb Bush is a moron. Let's see. Most of the rest of them are not even. Bobby Jindal, that's the other thing, Peanut Rider, is he supports mandatory vaccination. That's where I was going with that, and then I got sidetracked there. But yeah, that's the big thing about. Eddie Crump, you'll have to put a video or something on there, because I have heard it out of his mouth that he supports private ownership of guns. There's just the one minor issue, and that does not make him anti-gun. There's a big difference between somebody that has some what they feel are small restrictions, even though we disagree with it. When he is all for every other type of thing, that doesn't make him anti-gun. It makes him anti-assault weapons in big cities. That's a whole different story. Carson is not nearly conservative enough. There's a lot of things about him I like, but he's not gonna make muster if he don't make some changes. That mandatory vaccination deal really is not going to cut it. Tampa Go Scout, you know, that'd be great, but I have a regional area here of LFA that I have to run, and that's I think that would run. V2 Basic, I bet you'd be a damn fine campaign manager, to tell you the truth. I'll guarantee you, I think you'd be a good one. Bobby Jindal is, you know, there was a few things that he did that were pretty good back in the day. And but he's, I'm not sure about him. He's changed a lot. I think he's kind of a dork. But, you know, one thing we got to look at here, vote for somebody. Look at who's in there right now. And look at who stands to replace him. Unless he somehow manages to get the 22nd Amendment repealed between now and then. But look who's likely to replace him. Folks, I don't care which one of those Republicans gets in there. One of them has to get in there. Do I like them, all of them? Absolutely not. But when we look at what's been going on here for the last 7 years, man, it's killing us. Look, you know, a guy sent me a deal. Let me find this over here. A guy sent me a deal today. And I looked this up. I found a great number of references and other sources for it. And it is... Oh, poop. Hang on, here it is. Okay, listen to this. By executive order, Obama, the IRS has revoked the nonprofit status to veterans group that hosted Trump on the USS Iowa. I looked this up, and I probably found 25 or 30 sources for it, including the Blaze and Breitbart and some of these others. So that's the kind of stuff that we have now. Long slide. You know, I'm not totally opposed to Trump. I've got some reservations. I really do. But he's got, if he does half of what he says he's going to do, he'd probably be okay. Common Core, Yakima Glock says Huckabee's for Common Core. You know, we can't be doing that. That is about as stupid as it gets. But Eddie Crump, you know, it's still, like I said, it's an education thing. I don't think it would be a big deal. So let me see. Let me cruise down through here and see what's going on. Okay, I see that non-7711, that was our anonymous from a while ago. Yeah, that happened. And, you know, there's some things about, a lot of things about Rand Paul that I like. I don't like everything. But I don't think he'd be a bad president. I don't think Carson would be a bad president, but he does have some things that I don't like. I don't think Trump would be a bad president, but he has some things I don't like. I'm liking Ted Cruz pretty good. But it's still over a year, so who cares at this point? You know, we can start forming opinions about things, but we need to keep them wide open. Wide open. Because a whole lot of stuff can happen between now and a year from now. And be too basic, that's exactly right. If you don't vote, then shut up. You have no business complaining if you don't vote. Right, wrong, or indifferent, no matter what you think about the system, if you don't vote, you have no opinion as far as I'm concerned. So, with all that out of the way, you know, there's not too many, I was looking at all the stuff that's going on here, and I don't have a lot of gun topics right now. I tell you one thing, though, Doc talked earlier about a good set of jeweler's files. Though they're indispensable. I got my first set, my supply sergeant down in Fort Irwin, California, got me a set down there because I did a lot of work on the side for some of his guys there. And, as a matter of fact, I still have that set. It's over there on the bench right now. And I've managed to get another set since then. And Doc's right. With a steady hand and a good eye for angles and stuff, you can make just about anything. And I haven't made any real small parts like that. I made a front sight for a Ruger, a front sight blade for a Ruger Mark I one time. I cut a piece of had a little what do you call it, a tri-square. And in that, the part of the tri-square that slides back and forth with the level on it, you know, there's a little edge, a little ledge on one end of that. And I carefully cut that out to about a little bit bigger than what I needed with the Dremel tool. And then I took files, and it took quite a bit of time because the aluminum kept clogging up the file. But I made an absolutely perfect front sight for that thing. You can't tell it's not factory. It's still on that gun today. I still have it over there in the safe. And you can. It's indispensable, especially when we look at a poop hit the fan situation where you don't have the opportunity of just dialing up Brownells or Numerich gun parts and say, hey, send me one of these things. Well, there's not going to be any of that. If you can't scavenge it off of another gun, you're either going to build it or you're going to do without. So putting a set of those files, those Jeweler's files, in your preparedness stuff is not an altogether bad idea. And you really don't even need a whole set. You know, if you get five of them, you can probably do 99% of everything that you need to do. Be sure that you get the little triangle one and the little flat bastard, opposed to one of them round cotton pickers. No, you get the flat one and a round one, and you need one with the very sharp point on it, because you may need to clear out some, a hole that a pin goes in or something like that. And pick out about five or six of them. If you don't get the whole set, if you find a partial set at a yard sale or something, jump on it and put it away, or have it handy if you don't have it now or don't use it now. And there's several little gun-related things like that that, whether you're a gunsmith or a mechanic or not, somebody might be, and somebody might be able to help you and not have the tools to do it. So I think that's a very small price to pay, and Doc is absolutely right about being able to make lots of little things like that. And you can take it, if it's halfway decent steel, and harden it and make it work for you for a long time. Now, B2 Basic, I'm not sure exactly what your question is here. You said, what was it you said up here about what kind of your first reload and setup? That's a very broad question. Not to infer that you're abroad, but that was a broad question. To start out with, usually a decent single stage press is fine. It depends on what kind of money you want to, and it's always going to come down to how much reloading you think you're going to do. You know, if you've got the money and can get a little bit better press, you're going to find out that once you start in that, it's going to be a lot of fun, and you're going to save some money, and you're going to say, wow, This little Lee Challenger press or whatever it is not cutting it. So then you got to try to either get rid of that, or you're going to wind up saving it for a backup or for a particular caliber, and then going into something else. So if you want to go with a single stage, you know, somebody mentioned a Rock Crusher up there. The RCBS Rock Crusher, is a great press. It's a good press to start with. and it'll load anything that you have to load except shotgun. Actually, there's even an attachment you can get on that to load 12-gauge shells. It's expensive, but it'll load everything below a 50 cal, I think. It loads all chucker. Yeah, that was. I think somebody put Crusher up there in the chat room a while ago and led me right down that road. Yeah, rock chucker. It's funny that I say that because I've got one sitting right over there on the bench right now. The rock chuckers are not really that expensive, but they are a little higher than some of the rest of them. But they're time consuming being a single stage, but you can be sure that your reloads are precise, that they're precision loads. And Peanut Rider, that's about when I got mine. You say you got yours in 1976. I got mine, I got it out at the BC Gun Range in Cleveland, Texas. And that would have been about, no, I'm a liar. The rock chucker that I have now, I won at a match in, Anyways, in Georgia. Forgot what the name of the town was, but I got that one in a match, and then I had the one right under the rock chucker. I got it at BC Gun Range. I got that one about 1976. The one I have now, I got about 1992. So. Hornady makes a good press. Hornady makes good dies. I've got some Hornady dies that I've been using for a long, long, long time. The Lee Challenger, I don't like at all. Lee is they're cheap, and it shows in their equipment. They have a decent warranty process. That the only thing that Lee makes that I like, as far as presses go, is that turret press. The Lee turret press is the poor man's progressive kind of. It's they're fast. I wouldn't want to use it for anything very precision. For my, I would save a single stage press or one of the Dillon presses for anything that I was trying to really get in groups that are measuring thousands of an inch. But the turret press, especially for pistol shells, for pistols and any ammo that you're not looking for, you know, match grade precision, that turret press is pretty fast. It's a neat little deal, and they're very, very inexpensive. They're probably up around $80 or $90 now, but that's cheap compared to, you know, anything else that will load with that kind of speed. I can load, when I had mine set up like I wanted it, I could load 250 rounds an hour of pistol rounds with that one. And that's smoking right along, but I had it set up perfectly. I had it set up with a bunch of non-standard stuff, you know, that I made myself, something they didn't really have on the market at the time, like a stand for the powder measure that was just the right height and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of jerry-rigged it, lay around a little bit, but man, I really, really loaded a lot of ammo with that turret press. The turret press that I have now, I think I still, yeah, I still got it, is the AT-500 that Dillon makes, and they've discontinued that, unfortunately. But it's a great press. I really do like that. The issues with Lee B2 Basic is that most everything on it is aluminum. And like in the case of the turret press, some of it is put together with bolts instead of with a good solid monolithic. I don't know if monolithic is the right word, but one-piece construction. They wear out quickly. They get out of out of spec, you know, if you use them hard. For the recreational shooter, for somebody just to go out and load a few that they You know, they hunt with, you know, they load a little bit once or twice a year, a little bit of sports shooting in the spring and hunting in the fall, a little bit of varmint shooting here and there. It's as good as anything. You know, it's inexpensive and you don't have to worry about it. But if you shoot a lot, if you compete, if you train a lot and practice and you shoot, 25,000 rounds a year, your Lee Press is probably not going to get you through the first year. You're going to be rebuilding it from time to time. One thing that Lee makes that's not a bad thing to put into your preparedness stuff is their hand press. It's aluminum also, but it's a neat little deal. You don't have to mount it on a table. It looks like a big pair of pliers, upside down pliers kind of, and you hold it in one hand and push the handle with the other, and a little slow. But it's stuff that you can put that and a little bit of powder and primers and everything you need in a medium-sized briefcase and have everything you need to load. You can take a full-size regular briefcase and put all that in there and have enough stuff to load, several hundred rounds of several calibers with that little hand press. But it's slow. They're cheap. They're $25 or something like that. But I've got one, and I just got it to put away just to stick back for hard times just in case. It takes regular dies, and I've never loaded a whole lot with it. I've messed around with it and loaded a few just to see what it's like. It is vitally, vitally important that you use a good quality lube and plenty of it when you use that hand press. Because you don't have the compound leverage to unstick a dry case like you do with the rock chucker or any of the Dillons or something like that. Redding's still in business. They make decent presses. The only thing I don't like out there is Lee. Now Lee makes the turret press is the only reloading press that they have that I like. They do have a very nifty set of cups, and Lee's the only one that I know of that makes them. It comes in a box about 6 inches wide, an inch deep, and 12 or 14 inches long, and it's got a whole series of measuring cups in there. And those measuring cups, in the absence of a powder, and yes, I do have a set of those, in the absence of a powder measure and everything, that is the way to go. Is it match grade accuracy? No, it's not, but it's accurate enough for hunting and defense and sport. And I have loaded many around. When I first started, when I was a kid, I used a Lee Lodol and those little cups. And that was my reloading setup. Now, I've told you this before, I don't put a whole lot of stuff back for the poop hit the fan situation. I want to try to have everything loaded. I don't really see us having the luxury of sitting around loading all the evening, and just put the war on hold and let's all get together and drink beer and load shells all night. I don't think that's going to be happening. I think we probably need to take the opportunity to have as much of that done and put away as we can. And if you can store that stuff and save it for a while, fine. But to do it with the intention of loading shells every once in a while when you run short, I don't think that's going to work out so well for us. But if you've got the money, Dillon, definitely the way to go. Absolutely, no questions asked. They have the best warranty on the market. If you're moving, like say for instance you're moving from Washington to Arizona and it falls off the truck on the way and you pick it up and send it back to them in pieces and say, I was dumb, I left this one sitting on the fender of the truck and drove off with it, and what's it going to cost me to get it fixed? Well, what they're going to do is they're going to send you a new one, and that's going to be the end of that. They don't care what happened to it. If you screw it up, they will fix it. So, something to you get They're a little bit on the pricey side, but you do definitely get what you pay for. Mountain Shooter, does this ring a bell? Tell you one damn thing, if that doesn't put me in Fulda, Germany in one note, I can name that tune in one note. Yes, I can. I spent a many an hour messing around and trying to do German things when that song was playing in Germany. It's a lot of fun. And I still like to listen to it once in a while because it still, sure enough, does bring back a lot of memories. So, a lot of good memories from Europe.
Not funny, ha-ha, funny, queer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, wir singen zusammen die Geschichte über den Schweinkopf in Holland und den lieben Landkern.
After the turn of the century, in the clear blue skies over Germany,
the following is a public service announcement brought to you by the John Denver Committee to Prevent Air Show Violence and Deaths Now. The JDC PASVADN says that until we close the air show loophole and place common sense regulations on assault planes with high capacity fuel tanks, the death toll at air shows will continue to rise. Fuel tanks in assault planes should be limited to 10 gallons or less, except for law enforcement and military aircraft. Call your congressman today and ask him to support SB 1369, written in honor of the many victims of needless air show violence.
80 men tried and 80 men died. Now they're buried together on the countryside. 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 or more. The bloody red baron was rolling up the storm. 80 men died trying to end that spree of the bloody red baron of Germany.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom and teaching this system that there is a shape we want it to maintain and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
Join that sexy thing for living way out here on the Survival Circle Network. Yep, Amy's back on weeknights except Wednesday from 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time with an hour of trivia, fun, and interesting stories. Join her for living way out here.
Debate. He was nominated by the folks from every state. Yes, a monkey was the president, though maybe not the first.
Okay, are you ready? Here's Colt Reynolds with another maximum dose of truth and common sense on the shooting bench.
They say heaven's at the end, but so far it's been hell, and there's fire on the mountain, lightning in the air, holding them heels, and it's waiting for me there.
Well, I don't know if if you guys heard or not, but there was two more cops killed today. There was a, it looks like Hub's back. Hub, I meant to ask you. I asked you in the chat room a while ago, and I think you were already gone. But are you the Hub that I knew up in Wyoming? If you are, you'll know what I'm talking about. Two more cops killed today, and it's unfortunate, but the news has really blown this out of proportion. Yes, they died in the line of duty, and it's too bad. But one of them right here in Flagstaff, Arizona, 150 miles from here. They said, the news says, breaking, two more cops assassinated amidst growing anti-police movement. Well, really, that didn't have, or at least the first one, didn't have a damn thing to do with that. He was attempting to make contact with it was during a domestic violence thing, and the guy already had a gun and opened fire on him and then killed himself. That didn't have anything to do with hating the cop or anything. It was just an unfortunate situation right there. Domestic violence, always very unpredictable, always dangerous or generally dangerous. And the other one, though, that was not assassinated. I mean, he was killed in the line of duty, but it wasn't what I would call an assassination. This other one, a little different, though. This was in Tarpon Springs, and the cop was 45 years old, shot down by a guy that was running from the law anyway. Then the guy ran over the dying cop's body with his vehicle before he took off. So they did catch him, charging him with first-degree murder, and of course bail was denied. So that's a good thing. It's a very, very unfortunate thing that happened the way it did. But at least the first one was not definitely not an assassination. So these two cops here joined. There's another one that was. A couple of them shot down for no other reason than for wearing a uniform, looks like. New York City, we had the 25-year-old kid that was sitting in his unmarked patrol car, and somebody just came up and shot him. Guy was arrested, you know, an hour and a half after that. But I think, like I said, I think we're going to see a lot more of that. This one right here really gets me. We've seen how they have pretty much eliminated prayers at assemblies and ball games and whatnot. Well, this one, oh great. Leave it to me to be pushing the wrong button. There it is. This was in Bremerton, Washington. And they're investigating a football coach for praying after a high school football game. I saw that man pray, and I want him investigated. I do not. Can you believe that? Honestly, I mean, he was praying right there in front of God and everybody. I mean, well, yeah. I mean, that's the way he was. Exactly. He was right in front of God and everybody. He was praying. And but it was to everybody that I didn't like. He was praying, and I saw him. And I want him investigated. Unbelievable. I can't believe men do that. But he said he's still coaching. Said he always prays after games on the 50-yard line. He said sometimes he's alone, sometimes other players join him. He said, I never ask anybody. They all just showed up one day, and next thing I know, the other team was showing up with us. And folks, I think that is a very good thing. I think that good for him. Good for him. Got both teams out there together, and I think that is pretty damn awesome. He's the assistant head coach of Bremerton High's varsity team. After Monday's game, he still prayed on the field in a large crowd made up of parents and players and parents from Bremerton and the opposing team all took part. He said, I spent 20 years in the Marines, and it's been about protecting the freedom of other people. It's about the freedom, and people can believe whatever they want. I'm just exercising my right. The game is over, and I just thank God for every one of these young men that are out there. And now, do you really see anything wrong with that? I totally don't get that. Okay, Hub, I saw your post there. Thank you. I knew a guy up in, the only other person I ever knew named Hub was up in Cody, Wyoming. Okay, well, that's one of those many things that really, really, it offends me. You know, they say they're offended by, I didn't ask you to pray. And I'm not doing it where you can hear me. It's not, I'm not, you know, if you don't like the sight of me kneeling down and praying at halftime or at the end of the game, turn your back, look the other way, check your phone out. You're on it all the time anyway. Check your messages while I'm doing it. It won't bother you. But it offends the hell out of me that I'm going to be investigated for praying at the end of the game, or at the beginning of the game, or the middle of the game, or right anywhere in it. As long as I'm not impeding the progress of the game and wasting time or trying to convince other people to do it or whatever, then leave me alone. And Peanut Rider's absolutely right. If he said he's praying to Allah, they'd just stop the game, got everybody a rug, and say, hey, y'all run down there and we're doing the Allah thing right now. So anyway. Alright, let's see. Yeah, I know it'd be too basic. I know what you mean. I hate it. Good things coming out of Maine right now. This is, well, not right now. It's a month or so ago. But Maine now has passed LD 652, which abolishes the concealed carry permit requirement in the state. So it passed the House 83-62, passed the Senate 23-12, and Maine became, here a month or so ago, became our, sixth or seventh constitutional carry state now. Pretty good stuff. Let's see here. Here's another good reason to carry in church. This story is only a couple of days old. This was a nice young man named Rashid Abdul Aziz. Rashid Abdul Aziz walked into a church in Texas on Sunday dressed in camouflage pants, tactical vest, boots, and a camouflage helmet, a pistol in his waistband. And later on, he'd say that he was on a mission from Allah. As he entered the Baptist church there in Bullard, Texas, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, he asked a deacon where he could find the pastor. He just wanted to see him for prayer, he told the deacon. Although the morning's worship service was long over, the church was still had a lot of stuff going on. So apparently he was sitting in the conference room with his with a teenage son. And the guy that, or the pastor, he said, every hair on my neck just stood up. He said as the guy walked into the conference room, it was almost like you could just feel the presence of that negative energy. You know what? These dogs are going nuts. I'm afraid you guys are going to have to listen to something here. I'll be back in a minute.
Good morning, beautiful. How was your night? Mine was wonderful with you by my side. And when I opened my eyes, it's
see your sweet face. It's a good morning, beautiful day. I couldn't see the light. I didn't know day from night. I had no reason to care. Well, since you came along, I can face the dawn. 'Cause I know you'll be there. Good morning, beautiful. How was your night? Mine was wonderful with you by my side. When I opened my eyes, see your sweet face. It's a good morning.
Not a big deal. He was barking at a cat or something out there. I try to discourage him from doing that. We do have a lot of coyotes here. Matter of fact, my oldest daughter, Amy's oldest daughter, had a couple of cats when they come in. They're staying here temporarily while they're getting ready to go to another job out of state. And they had two cats when they got here, and now they don't. So I'm guessing that there's been two or three well-fed coyotes out here somewhere. That happens from time to time. When you live in coyote country and have cats outside, then that's just something that happens. Part of life. Okay. Let me go and check my stash. I've got a stash of stuff saved here. Boy, do I have a bunch of stuff. I'm missing the whole thing there with Lavoie Finicum last night. I didn't get into my stash at all, so I've got a lot of stuff to talk about here. Did you know? You know, I told you about the what the IRS was doing, claiming the shutting down the tax exempt status of those people that hosted Trump on the USS Iowa. There's another one here. Brand new story. A couple of days. Obama has ordered behavioral experiments. On the American public. Now, this sounded a little over the top to me, but man, I checked a lot of sources here, and there's a lot of stories on this. Says he's announced a new executive order on Tuesday. Now, I'm not telling you I'm 100% positive that it's true, because it sounds so way in the hell out there. I'm just telling you, I saw numerous sources that said this was the case. He announced a new executive order on Tuesday that authorizes federal agencies to conduct behavioral experiments on U.S. citizens in order to advance government initiatives. A growing body of evidence demonstrates that behavioral science insights, research findings from fields such as behavioral economics and psychology, about how people make decisions and act on them, can be used to design government policies to better serve the American people. And I'll bet that's just damn exactly what he's planning on doing, is better serving the American people. I am confident that that's what it is. So there you have it. Little concerned about that one, you know, to tell you the truth. You guys probably saw on the news there was another. Oh, yeah, we had a cop shot in Phoenix, too. I told you about the two today. There was another one in Phoenix. This one was yesterday. It was updated today. This was during a traffic stop. They have the update here. They have identified the guy that shot him Wednesday morning, yesterday morning. 40-year-old police officer, 8 years of service, shot multiple times during a traffic stop. According to police, the officer was able to call for help as the suspects drove away from the scene. The helicopter
information as well this morning out of Phoenix as a man sits behind bars.
You know what? I'm telling this story.
Phoenix police officer during a traffic stop.
We brought this to you as breaking news right here on
Go
ABC 15 Mornings. And
away.
Nick Vincent Zant now joins us live with the very latest. Nick, good morning.
I'm telling this story.
Well, it's not exactly clear when he's going to go in front of a judge, but we do know that when he does, he will be facing two charges of...
Yeah. It's all about control, and I've got it. So there you have it. Anyway, I hate these automatic videos like that. It really ticks me off. Just for that, I will put the quietus to that story. All right. Well, we're just about done anyway. You know, there was another deal here, Whataburger. You guys, I'm sure you saw this in the news. They said, you know, where was it? Arby's, I think, or something here? Yeah, Arby's. Just a few days ago. Well, there was a Whataburger. If you guys have never tried Whataburger, Whataburger is... it really is all that in a bag of chips. It's a great place to eat. They got really good hamburgers. I love Whataburger. I will go out of my way to go to Whataburger. And there's not any. I don't think there's any in Arizona that I've seen. There may be some down in Phoenix or somewhere, but you see most of them in Texas. There's a few in New Mexico. There's at least two in Albuquerque. Anyway, these part of the anti-cop sentiment here. A couple of cops walked up to Whataburger and ordered, and they got at the counter said, "You know what? We don't serve cops here. We don't serve police officers. No, we serve hamburgers. We don't serve cops." And anyway, the guy has since been fired. Whataburger has said, "We want the cops to come back in here. We'd like to apologize to them personally." And I know that Whataburger is better than that. I know that that's not a corporate deal. It's definitely not to come. Oh, people say, "Oh, don't! I would never go to a Whataburger again." You know what? Why don't you just shut up? Why don't you use your head a little bit? Just because one person does something like that, the managers and owners and corporate Whataburger can't stand around and watch every employee every day, every minute, all the time. If they could, there'd be no need for them to hire them. They just do it themselves. So they, you know, don't blame the company for it, just because you had one idiot in there doing something like that. All right. Well, let me check. We're about done here. Let me check the chat room here and see what's going on. Yeah, everybody's always excited when I go out the door. I think I'm going to wind up shooting a coyote or something. But probably not going to happen the way the shop is arranged here and everything. Probably not likely to step out and find a coyote. I do step out and shoot them off the balcony every twice in a while. But you know what, Tampico Scout? We could do that from rain. Maybe we'll do that when you guys come down here. Maybe we'll go out and shoot a little bit and go do a show somewhere or something. Anyway. All right. Well, don't forget, we've got the the Big Arms Expo coming up. It's looking better and better every day. And I'm hoping that we're going to get more and more vendors in here. We need, hopefully, Yakima Glock is working on those flyers. I need those most Ricky Tick so I can start getting them up around town. So we need to, and you guys spread the word up there too. Be Too Basic, yeah. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do when you guys get down here. Maybe we'll get out and go shoot some jackrabbits or something. There's an adequate supply of jackrabbits down here in this part of the country right now. Okay, well, I'm going to put the stopper in it, and I'll see you guys hopefully. Now, we're going to be out of town tomorrow, but I'm hoping that everything goes well, and we'll do our shows as normal tomorrow night. That's the plan. So if everything goes well in our traveling and all, that's what's going to happen. So I feel pretty safe to say yes. We'll see you all tomorrow evening. Thanks for joining me. Okay, let's call it a day. Thank you for joining me. Join me every Monday through Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time for the Shooting Bench right here on Just Measures Radio Network. Let